All right, you're hot, you're sore, tired, and you've been pedalling your bike for months. You've had to battle rain, dust of the outback, pain, and also battle your own mind while you're doing all this alone. That's a taste of the journey a Moreton Bay woman has been on. It has been 4 months since Marie Stevenson set off to cycle from Woodford to Birdsville through all 10 Australian deserts for charity. And I thought we'd check in and see where she is. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Loretta. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Well, how are you and where are you?
I am in Baduri, which is about 187 k's outside of Birdsville. And I finished the challenge yesterday in Birdsville.
You finished? Oh, Marie.
I know.
Now, could take us back. So you've been doing this. When did you actually set out? What date was it?
It was the 2nd of May.
And along the way, have you had any challenges where you thought, no, I've had enough, I'm going to pack up?
Look, I think daily, pretty much. There were moments like that every day, and then working through that is what I think has been the essence of the challenge, you know?
Yeah. Oh, how did you work through it?
Look, it's interesting, Loretta, because I think, you've got the internal challenges. And I think that's sort of something that has been I'm kind of at that stage in life that I'm ready to sort of sit with that discomfort and work through that and get to know myself at another level and see who and what pops up, when you're under, I suppose, such a a situation where you're out of so much comfort zone. Mm. And so, I think for me, I was ready to sit with that discomfort because there's lots of it. And it's very challenging, very confronting. And then probably for me, because I was welcoming it, I was wanting to sit with it. I can't say that it was enjoyable. I can't say that, that it was a wonderful experience. But I suppose each day, personally, knowing that I was sort of building on the last, and I could feel myself growing and being in the place where I needed to be in life, So I think that's the personal experience. And then the social experience, the public experience was then when I needed help or when help was offered, that had such an injection of connection. As I was listening to before it started about, why would you take on something like this during the epidemic? Mm. And, the experience of, the epidemic and social distancing doesn't mean disconnection. And my foremost experience in this is the importance of connection and what a difference it makes to your health and well-being, to be able to then know that you're supported and be able to get on with the day with what needs to get done. Because even with the support, you still got to get up and do it, on your own two feet. But you're never alone.
Yeah. And you were raising money, along the way for Beyond Blue, the mental health support group. So, that was the reason you really set out. Was there a personal reason for doing it?
Oh, absolutely. Like I've experienced anxiety all my life since, a child. I have grown up, with anxiety and have learnt to live well with it. And in the last, over the last 10 years, depression has gone into there, has symptoms of depression have also sort of raised. And so I personally have experienced the challenge of that, being able to sort of get to know that and learn and be able to learn and grow, with when your mental health is, a bit wobbly. Mm. And I have wonderful support, I have family and my own family and, wonderful friends. And so even with that support, I've found that space, still difficult to work through.
Yeah.
And so I think services that, reach out and offer every person, the opportunity to have the best mental health possible, like Beyond Blue, are precious. And my appreciation for those sort of services, it's been a huge honour to be able to raise money for Beyond Blue.
What were some challenges along the way though? Because you're on a bike. There's the old flat tire thing. I imagine would happen. And then as you're cycling those lonely deserts, I don't know, any creatures pop out?
creatures?
I don't know.
Probably within me, Loretta. I think it is. There's been some scary creatures that have turned up. Who the hell's that?
Really?
Look, the challenges, if I would say the challenges, they're singly, but what makes it more challenging is when they start to add up and then you've got them all pooled into one experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So you've got the wind is full on out in desert country, you know, because it's floodplains. It's very exposed country, and so you get wind that, you know, maybe in the when you get closer to towns, it gets a little bit more buffed. But out in those plains, it's uninterrupted, and it gusts, you know.
Yeah.
So the wind, if that's a tailwind, hello, you know, it's an awesome day. But I, the season that I cycled in, it was the windy season in desert country.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it was headwind, you know, Murphy's Law, I don't know. But, you know, okay, so that was one challenge, was headwind. And when the bike's all packed up, he works like a sail, you know, if it's tailwind, fantastic. But a sail with a headwind or a strong sidewind, you know, it's really tricky conditions. And then you're on the desert tracks. So most of the tracks, you know, like it's actually quite a phenomenon how they're able to maintain the tracks, you know, out in this country, because there's a lot of space out there and a lot of distance those tracks have to cover. But, you know, sometimes the tracks can also deteriorate and then they get quite corrugated. And then you get different levels of corrugations when there's, like, bumps in the road.
Yeah.
And then you can get some tracks, like particularly the, you know, the Tanami, that the corrugations were just so severe, you know. So wind, corrugations, and then you go in the desert country, or in that inland country, you get these really slow inclines or declines. And usually when I was doing it tough, it just seemed to be an incline. And you're talking about inclines for anything from 10 to 50, 60 Ks.
Yeah.
You know, so you got that. And then some of the tracks then get quite sandy. And then during the day when the sun's overhead, you don't see the thick sands.
Mm.
And so, you know, you can be riding along and everything's all good. And then you hit a thick sand and the front of the bike twists, you know, and next minute you're over in the sand, you know. And so, yeah, it kind of start to add up these things. And then every Banjo's the name of my bike, but every time Banjo got a slash in his tire or something happened to him, again, Murphy's Law, it would happen when I was most stretched in those conditions. And so then you'd be, like, going along and next minute you'd get this spray of, like, sealant coming out of his tire. My tummy would just be like, oh, no. But then that would pull me back because my relationship with the bike was really something quite, it sounds quite odd, but my relationship with the bike was really something special. Yeah. So I'd be like, all right, mate, let's sort this out. You know, I'll look after you because you look after me every day.
Yeah, well, Banjo, you know, so, you start talking to Banjo, I guess, along the way you have to, because the only sort of, I suppose, companion you have there. We've got news coming up, Marie, but you're at Baduri. Your family were there to welcome you home.
My family, I arrived in Birdsville and my family arrived that day at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh.
So it was just fantastic.
Just beautiful.
But, you know,
to
I suppose
them.
Just a summary of it. Yep. I've done just under 9,000 Ks. I did finished the 10 deserts yesterday with the Simpson and raised $10,500 for Beyond Blue.
Good on you. $10,500 Beyond Blue. The 10desertchallenge.com if you want to check Marie's progress. We've loved talking to you and watching you go through this, Marie. Well done. And we look forward to your next adventure. Thanks for telling us about it and welcome home.
All the best. Thank you so much, Loretta, for your support. Hey?
No worries. Bye-bye.